Wednesdays at 6:30. Speaking of next steps, it reminds me of baptism. You know, baptism is where you declare your faith. It's the point where when Jesus has come into your life, you want to testify about all the things he's transformed in your life. Physically, we do that by participating in baptism. You can join us. August 23rd in the afternoon, we're going to head down to the river and we're going to have live baptisms. You can be involved. I want you to connect with us. How do you do it? Well, in any platform you're on right now, you'll see a link. Just click that link. You can specify that you want to be baptized. You can use the app or you can communicate via our website. In any of those cases, we want you to get involved. Take your next step in declaring your faith. Today's a great day. The message is RSVP. And I promise God is going to speak to you today. Thanks for coming out.
Welcome. My name is Pastor Mark, and I want to ask you a question today. Have you ever been invited to a party or to a wedding? Now, think about that. I'm going to guess that probably most of us have been invited to something in some way, shape, or form. A few years ago, I was invited by a guy named Ole the Goalie, who used to live here. He was a famous hockey player. Him and his family have since moved about 3 years ago, but they lived here in Tri-Cities. And I was invited to do a wedding at his house. And I'm going to tell you, that was the most amazing house I've ever seen. Very wealthy guy, lived up on a hill, a just beautiful place. That was a great invitation for me. Have you ever gotten an invitation to a birthday, to a wedding? And if you have been able to have an invite from somebody, you know that usually you have to RSVP. You have to say, yes, I will be there, or no, I won't. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about an invitation that God gives us. In fact, if you're taking notes, let me give you something for your notes. Jesus invites us to join his great mission in the world to share the good news of the kingdom and invite others to join. God himself is inviting us to be part of his mission. And he's waiting for us to RSVP to say yes or to say no. Now, here's the thing that is just amazing to me. This is God. And when I look in the Bible at the very beginning in Genesis, God spoke and everything came into existence. In other words, God didn't need us. God spoke and the sun, the moon, the stars, all the universes, everything happened. And on this planet, God spoke and there was trees and bushes and fish and animals and all this. God created everything without us. But yet when it comes to the mess that we've made of this world because of sin, God says, I don't need you, but I want you to be part of my mission. I'm God, I don't need anything, but I want you to be part of my mission. Are you part of his mission? See, this is amazing. God invites you and me to be on his mission. The best thing in the planet, the best thing in the world. Let me tell you a story that Jesus showed. Jesus told this story, and it was a parable. And we're going to read it in Matthew 22. It's about a king that was inviting people over from his kingdom into his house for a banquet. And here's what it says. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been butchered. In other words, hey, boys, we're going to have steak tonight. I'm there. But listen to what other people said. They weren't there. And everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the king's servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Then look at the last line. The king was, say it with me, the king was enraged. I think he probably had a reason to be enraged. In fact, it's interesting. It's interesting. Anyone would refuse, that anyone would ever refuse an invitation from the king. Can you imagine that? A few years back, I was in London, and I was at Buckingham Palace, where the Queen lives. Amazing place, beautiful place, changing of the guards, really cool, all that kind of stuff. But I was thinking, you know, if I was British and I lived there, and the Queen sent me an invitation to come to Buckingham Palace and to be there with her, have dinner or something, I don't care what is on my calendar, I'm going to change it so that I can go and be with the Queen. But yet here we see two people said, oh no, I got a field that I just bought. I got business over here to do. Sorry, I can't do it, King. And here is God. God is inviting you and I. Our King is inviting you and I to be part of his mission, to be on this mission. And we come up with excuses too, right? We come up with excuses. We say things like, oh man, you know, if I was single, I could, or I got this business thing going on, or I got all these other, my social life and all these other things that are so much more important. Sorry, it's just not a good time right now. Come back later. Come back in a few years. Maybe I'll be able to do it then. We have so many stinking excuses. When God invites us to be part of the most important thing on the planet, and yet we say, no, we RSVP. No. I believe God's heart hurts, just like that king in that parable's heart hurts when nobody came to his party. And then let me give you another verse, and I'm going to tie this in. In Matthew 16, Jesus says to his disciples, he says this, if anyone would come after me, he must, say it with me, deny himself or deny herself. And take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. In other words, what God is saying is I want to invite you into my mission to help people in this world, to help people come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. That is what we are to do. But sometimes we make excuses. Sometimes we don't actually listen. And if we do say yes, God is warning us ahead of time, we will have to deny ourselves. So let me ask you a question. What is the most valuable thing that you possess? Think about that. Please do not say your cat. What is the most valuable thing that you possess? Is it your home? Is it your finances? Is it your career? Is it your business? Is it a possession? What is it? Think about that. Be honest with yourself. What would you say right now? Somebody put a gun to your head and they said, what is the most important thing that you have? What would you say? Would it be your career, your money, a possession? What? Now, whatever that is in your mind, now, would you be willing to deny yourself of it and offer it to Jesus? Be honest with yourself. Would you be willing to deny yourself of it and offer it to Jesus? See, this is what he's calling you and I to do. He says, I want you to be on my mission, but as you're on my mission, there's going to be times where you're going to have to deny yourself of something. And we have to go, ugh, I don't want to do that, or yes, I will. How are we going to RSVP? Is it going to be yes, or is it going to be no? Let me give you another verse. I'm going to tie this one in as well. Matthew 6:21 says this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, whatever you enjoy, whatever you like, wherever your money goes, is where your heart goes. Can I tell you something? You are God's treasure. How do you know that you are God's treasure? You are God's treasure because God's heart followed you. When God created this planet, now listen to me. When God created this planet, he made it perfectly, but then sin happened because he made us. And when he made us, we suddenly sinned, and all of a sudden, sin has infected the entire planet and everything. Every one of us now are sinners. But you are his treasure. And how do I know that you are his treasure? Because his heart followed. Because he knew he loved you because you were his treasure. And he didn't want you to die and spend eternity away from him. So what did he do? His heart followed his treasure. His heart followed you. And he decided because he loves you that he would take the hit. He would take the penalty of sin so that you don't have to. So that you can spend eternity with God now in this life and in the next life. Stop and think about this. You are the treasure of God's heart. I am the treasure of God's heart. Can I tell you, most of the time, I don't feel that way. But when I read in Scripture and I understand what Jesus did for me, I realize, okay, I am the treasure. But I do stupid things. I sin. I do bad things, right? I don't feel like the treasure. But God says to us, you are the treasure. And my heart follows you. And I died for you because I love you, because you're my treasure. Wow. Just think about that. God knows that what we love and treasure, our heart follows also. Mark 10 says this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is for you because you are the treasure of his heart. And when the king gives up his life for the treasure of his heart and then invites you to be part of his mission, the only answer truly is yes. But for some reason, many people say no. Many people say no. You see, God is on a rescue mission, and he's inviting us to be part of it with him. Will you RSVP and say yes? Or are you going to simply just say no? Let me give you a story from Scripture. About 2,000 years ago, there was Peter and there was Andrew. They were brothers. And Jesus is starting his earthly ministry, and he's walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he meets these two guys. And let's pick it up in Mark 1, verse 16. As he, Jesus, was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Peter and Andrew, the brother of Peter, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. Now, what's interesting is that Peter and Andrew, his brother, they could have simply said, just like the others that we already talked about, they could have just come up with excuses going, you know what, Jesus, you know, thank you for inviting us to be a part of your mission. But, you know, the reality is, you know, we got a small business here. We're a fishing business. You know, we only got two boats. I operate one boat. My brother does the other one. But, you know, we're gonna try to grow up. We're going to try to get to four boats and then six boats and then eight boats and all this kind of stuff. It's just going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And Andrew, my brother here, he's just finishing building his house, and he's got a mortgage. And, you know, it's just not good right now. It's just not a good time. Can you check back in a few years? Right, they could have said that. They could have had some good excuses, right? You know what the Bible says? After Jesus invited them, it says that they dropped their nets immediately and followed him. It's like, hey, fishing, this is what we do for a living. Not as important. Drop and go and follow Jesus. Crazy. Amazing. Basically, you know what they're saying? We're all in. We are all in. But Jesus knew that when he asked people like you and I, to be part of his mission. He knew that many would refuse. Many would RSVP and say, nah, got other stuff to do. In fact, let me give you some stories. One is a guy, we don't know his name, but he was called the rich young ruler. So he was obviously he was rich and young and probably a ruler. And so he meets with Jesus and he comes to Jesus and he says this, he goes, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds to him in Matthew 19 and says this, go sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And how did this work out? Well, it says next, when the young man heard this, he went away, what? Sad, because he had great wealth. Because he had great wealth, he walked away sad. In other words, what he was saying is, thanks for the invitation, Jesus, but the cost is too high. Do we say that? This is something that I think most people say to God. Thanks, but no thanks. There's another passage in Scripture. It talks about a couple of different people that Jesus encountered and invited them to be part of the mission. And it was in Luke 9, and here's what it says. So he invited them to be a mission, and then here's what the first guy said. He says, the first guy replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then another person said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Can I tell you, both of those excuses are really good to me. You know, I'm thinking, Jesus, his dad died. He's got to bury his dad, right? I mean, that's a pretty good excuse, right? The other guy is like, hey, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I want to go back and say goodbye to my family, to my parents, to my siblings, to my aunts and uncles, my nephews and nieces. It'll probably take a few days because they live out of town, so I got to walk over there and back. So probably by this time next week, I can follow you. I mean, right? They seem like normal requests. I want to bury my dad. I want to say goodbye to my family. Jesus is saying, you got to do it now. You got to do it now. Don't put it off. This, in other words, this is the most important. This is the most important mission on the planet. And yet, we say no. And we come up with excuses. We come up with a whole bunch of excuses. Let me give you some excuses I was thinking about. Yeah, God, I'd love to say yes, but I got to put my kid through school. I got to put my kid through college. I want to say yes, but, you know, my career is taking off and we got this big business thing that's going on. You know, can you get to me a little bit later? Can you come in a couple more years? Maybe it'll be a better time, but right now just isn't the right time. We have excuses. Matthew 6 tells us this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. In other words, we cannot serve both God and stuff. We cannot serve God and money and things and possessions, and we can't. It has to be one or the other, because no one can serve two masters. So I wonder, what happened to those two guys? What happened to those two that said, well, you know, I got to go bury my dad. Oh, I got to go say goodbye to my family. What happened to them? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say another word about either one of them. But the Bible says a lot about Peter and Andrew. We know that Peter and Andrew, those two brothers who were fishermen, they dropped the nets and followed Jesus and they changed the world. We see it in Scripture because it tells about everything that they did. They changed the world. And some of you, let's be honest, some of you are going to say, well, you know, of course Jesus picked the best of the best for his 12 disciples. I mean, here's Peter and Andrew, right? Excuse me. Peter and Andrew they started the business from scratch, so they're entrepreneurs, so they know how to get things done. And I'm pretty sure the other 10 were that way. So Jesus picked the best of the best, right? So that's why everything worked well with them. Can I tell you that's ridiculous? In fact, let me give you a verse. In Acts, this is after Jesus died and rose again, and 40 days later, he ascended to heaven and left the planet. Now the disciples are carrying his mission on their own with his power in them. And there's a time where Peter and John, two of the disciples, were called in to the religious leaders. And they were questioning him on a bunch of stuff. Then they sent them away, and they talked amongst themselves. And they ended up saying about Peter and John, yeah, these guys are just unschooled, ordinary men. Now, in the original language, and I've shared this before in the past, but in the original language, this is one of my favorite verses, by the way. In the original language, unschooled, ordinary, in the original language of the Bible, is idiotos, which is where we get our English word, idiot. In other words, what they were saying is, hey, Peter and John, these two disciples of Jesus, they're just ordinary idiots. But we realize they've been with Jesus. See, Jesus didn't go around and pick around the best of the cream of the crop. Jesus picked to be on his mission for those 12 disciples. He picked ordinary, average people. That's it. God was looking for ordinary, average people because God wanted to show what he could do through ordinary, average people. Can I tell you, you and I are ordinary, average people. 99.9% of the people on the planet are ordinary, average people. And we don't feel like we could do anything great. We don't feel like we could contribute anything to being a part of his mission. But God says, let me decide that. I'm just asking you, will you be part of my mission or will you not? I'm giving you an invitation. Will you just RSVP and tell me either yes or no? You see, God is inviting us to be part of the most important thing on this planet. In fact, let me give you some things if you're taking notes. God is still looking for people who are willing and available to be used. Can I ask you a question? Is that you? Are you willing? Are you available? Now, here's another thing I want you to put in your notes. He is looking for disciples, not deciders. He's looking for disciples, not deciders. A couple weeks ago, I talked a message about disciples versus deciders. It was 2 weeks ago. If you missed it, you can go back on our on-demand on our website and you can watch that one. But God is looking for disciples, not deciders. But guess what? Just like a lot of people in the Bible, we make excuses, just like they did. We make excuses. And then here's one other thing real quick for your notes to say, is this. Our excuses show that we don't want to give up control of our lives. Isn't that true? We don't want to give up control of our lives. We want to keep control of our lives. We want to be in control. We don't like to give things up at all. So here's an illustration I was thinking about. There's a show called Let's Make a Deal. Now, some of you may have seen it. It's been out for a few years. And in this, basically, if you haven't seen the show, in Let's Make a Deal, what happens is everybody in the audience has to dress up in goofy characters, right? And then the host comes out, and he'll pick out different ones that are dressed in characters and pull them up, and they're a contestant. And they'll often sometimes do this. The host will give them something like let's say, $1,000. And they'll say, okay, here's $1,000 for you. You can keep that $1,000, or you can give it back and trade it in for what's behind curtain number one. And all of a sudden, the whole thing is on the contestant. And you can imagine what they're going through. They're like, I've got $1,000. I could just walk away right with that, and that's great. But the lure of what's behind curtain number one is appealing. Because it could be a new car. It could be furniture. It could be a trip. It could be any of those things, right? But if you've ever seen the show, it could also be what they call a zonk, where they open up the curtain and there's something goofy and stupid back there. Maybe it's a donkey. Maybe it's a cow. Maybe it's just something stupid like that, right? And you're like, oh, and I gave up the $1,000. See, this is what happens. God is always saying, look, I invite you to be part of my mission. Now it's up to you. And we're like, oh, I want to keep all the stuff that I've got. I want to keep my business. I want to keep my finances. I want to keep my possessions. Listen, can I tell you God will never give you a zonk? Can I tell you that? God will never do that. But for some reason, we have a problem of laying everything down before God and saying yes to him and picking up the new thing that he has, the mission. We don't like laying things. We don't like giving the $1,000 back. Can I have the $1,000 and what's behind curtain number one? No. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. You got to pick one. Which is it going to be? Whew. Wow. What are you clinging to? Be honest with yourself. What are you clinging to? Your home, possession, money, your lifestyle? What is it you're holding to? You see, there's an old bumper sticker that said this: if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. Now, think about this. If God is your co-pilot, that means you are the pilot. Do you know that you should never be the pilot? You should never be the driver. It should always be God, because God knows what's best for you. God knows what's best for me. We need to switch seats and let God be in charge. But for some reason, we just don't trust. Let's be honest. We know that God can take care of other people's lives and lead their lives and stuff, but you know, not mine. Not mine. I gotta own my own. I gotta be the God of my own life. That's really what we're saying when we say no to God. I need to be the owner of my life. But here's the thing. When God calls us to be part of his mission, did you know that he doesn't always make us put everything down? Let me give you an example. There are people that I know that God has given them the mind and the ability to be able to start a business from scratch and grow it to a very good business. And God doesn't then come along and say, hey, I want you to be on my mission and I want you to get rid of all of everything. I want you to sell it or burn it or whatever, all that business. No, he doesn't. He wants to say, you know what God often says? God will often say, I gave you that ability, that mindset, that work ethic to be able to build this thing up. And I did it for a reason. So that you can use what I have given you to have a living, a good living, but also to be used to further my kingdom, to further my mission. I can tell you people in the Tri-Cities right now that names are coming to me. If I were to tell you some names of these people, you would say, that's right. They have a good living, but they give generously to the kingdom of God. They are on mission to help people. God will allow us to do those things. Let me give you something for your notes. As a disciple, God becomes the owner. When we say yes to him, we say yes to his mission. As a disciple, God becomes the owner, and we become the stewards of his possessions that he allows us to use. In other words, everything we have was here before we got on this planet, and when we die, is still going to be here. Everything is God's. He is the owner. We are just simply the steward. That's all we are. And God is saying, look, I want you to steward my things. Now, students, can I talk to you for just a second? The sooner you understand this, the better. If you are a student, the sooner you understand this is the better, because if you're still in like in school or you're going into college as a young adult, the sooner you understand everything is God's, you are just simply the steward, and we are to be on mission with God. If you understood that now, it'll make it easier when you become an adult. But I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done that as a student, it becomes harder when you're an adult, when you have more stuff, more things. If you understand yes to Jesus and yes to being on a mission with him, it will make it easier to follow him as you become an adult. So today, as we talk about being on mission with God, we here at C3, we brought it down to a one-sentence phrase. And here's this: leading people into new and growing relationships with Jesus. That's what C3 is about. Leading people into new and growing relationships with Jesus. Now, how do we do that? It's by the growing. If we are growing as followers of Jesus Christ, if we are growing as disciples, then we are helping make the new. We are not just saved and then, okay, we can sit back and do whatever we want until we die. No, we are on mission. We are growing. We are in God's word. We're praying. We're speaking. We're helping with people. We're caring for others. We're doing whatever we can, what God has called us to do, to be on mission. And one of the reasons why we are saved is to and we're growing is to help the new people come to know Jesus Christ. You see, in other words, here's another way to put it. We are saved to save others. We are saved to tell other people about Jesus. We are saved to lead them to Jesus so that he can save them. That is why we are saved. We're not just saved to sit back and just wait till die and go to heaven. We are saved and left on this planet to be on mission to help other people be saved. Now, let me give you two examples of how do we apply this. You're like, Mark, I don't know how to apply. Okay, yes, I'll say yes, I'll RSVP to Jesus. Yes, I'll be on mission. What am I supposed to do? Let me give you a couple things. One is share your story. Now, can I tell you, please, please do not do this. Do not go like 3 blocks away from your house and knock on a stranger's door and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. Let me tell you about Jesus. Those rarely work. But when I say share your story, I'm talking about actually sharing your story with people you already know, people that you're maybe relatives with or friends with or coworker or friends at school or whatever, people you already know. Because when you get together, you share stories anyway, right? So why not share your story about God, about how you came to know God, what God has done in your life since you've been knowing him, or what God has brought you through a difficult situation and how he helped you. Share any of those kind of stories. And let me tell you, when you share it with them, you're sharing them about, you're really sharing about God. And you know what? You can share it with us too at the church at C3. If you could go to the site that you're seeing right now on the screen, and you can actually write in, you can type in your story, or you can film it on your phone and upload the video. We would love to hear your story. So you have a story to tell to us and to people that don't know Christ. Here's another way you can do this message. You can pray 1-1-1. What does that mean, Mark? What if you begin praying for one lost person that you know, that if Jesus were to come today or they were to die today, they would spend eternity away from God? What if you prayed for one person that is not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you prayed for them at 1 o'clock every day for 1 minute? What if you did that? You prayed for one unsaved person you know at 1 o'clock for 1 minute every day. What if you did that? Can I tell you what's going to happen? Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. As you begin to pray for this unsaved person that maybe you haven't even prayed for before, but you know them and you love them, suddenly as you begin to pray every day for that person at 1 o'clock for 1 minute, over time, I'm going to tell you, your heart is going to begin to change for them, and you're really going to begin to treasure them, and your heart will begin to follow, and you're like, I got to talk to them, and maybe God's going to use you to share a story with them and help them to come to know Jesus. You see, this is what we can do with this message. We have to apply it, not just say, yeah, that's a good message. We need to live it. We need to apply it. Now, let me tell you, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you know what you first need to do? You need to turn in your old life or brand new life that Jesus wants to give you. Let's pray. So, Father, right now, I'm so thankful that you are a God, that we are the treasure of your heart. Because of us, because we are your treasure, your heart followed us, and you, Jesus, died and paid the penalty for our sins so we don't have to, because we are your treasure. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why we are your treasure, because we do so horrible things. We're sinful. We're always doing bad things. But God, you love us and you care for us, and you invite us to become part of the mission on this planet that you have. You invite us. You don't need us, but you invite us to be a part of it. You want us to be a part of it. And I'm so thankful for that. Would you help those of us today who are followers of Jesus Christ right now on this online stream? Would you help us to RSVP and say, yes, I will be on mission. Yes, everything that I have, I realize it's all yours. You are the owner. I am just the steward. I will do what you want me to do. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, Father, I also pray for those that do not know you, that today on the stream is going, I don't know if I were to die or Jesus were to come, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I know I need Jesus. So Jesus says they bow their heart and they ask for forgiveness and they come into this relationship with you now in this life and for eternity. May they quickly understand that that is not the end. That's just simply the beginning of a brand new relationship and a new life with God. And now, once they've come into this relationship with you, you are giving them the same invitation that they can now be on mission as well. Thank you, Jesus, for that invitation. And we celebrate that. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, real quick before you go, if today you did say yes to Jesus and accepted him, would you text the word Jesus to the number on the screen? And this week, what we're going to do is we're going to send you videos Monday through Friday to help you understand the decision that you made today. We are so excited that you said yes to Jesus.
Can melt the hardest heart, speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around? Hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me? To the core, who controls the world I see, and walks me through it all. No one but you. sing to the Lord. Hear the rocks cry out, see the mountain shout, every heart come worship the Lord. Hear the oceans roar, see the sky.
We hope and pray that you're safe and healthy during this season. We're also grateful that you joined us today. We'd love to hear from you and hear what God is doing in your life. In fact, if you just asked Jesus to be your Savior, or you just rededicated your life to following Him, we would love to hear about it and celebrate with you. For starters, you can text the word Jesus to the number on your screen, and we'll send you a short devotional video series from Pastor Mark explaining your new life in Christ. You can also reach out to us by filling out your connection card on our C3 Tri-Cities app. We love connecting with you, celebrating with you, and praying for you. And the connection card is the best way to do that. If you're looking for more resources, you'll find a ton of options on our website at c3tricities.com. There you'll find resources for kids, students, parents, counseling, and a whole lot more. Again, that's all on our website. If you're a student, we're super excited to have you with us. Check out our C3 Students Instagram for daily encouragement and join us Wednesdays at 6:30 on YouTube. And an extra special thank you goes out to all of you who financially support the mission of C3. Your faithfulness and generosity is how we're able to continue sharing the good news of Jesus. Thank you for partnering with us. To find out ways you can help contribute, go to c3drycities.com and click on the button that says Give. And in advance, we sincerely say thank you. Thanks again for joining us. We love you and we look forward to seeing you again soon.